Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, March 12th, One Take Wednesday. We're in Jonah today, then we'll turn over to Matthew. And as you know, we are in the Proverbs chapter 12 today. First, let's do our memory verse for the week. Do you remember what gospel it is in? Matthew. And then the verse and the chapter are the same number, Matthew 4:4. It begins with the word Jesus and ends with the word God. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." We are going through the prophetic books this week, and today we're in Jonah. We'll only read Jonah 3:4-10, so I want to review for you just a minute the story of Jonah, which you probably already know well. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. That would be like maybe God telling us to go to Iraq and to tell them to repent. That's what Jonah was supposed to do. But you know what happened. Jonah did not go to Nineveh. In fact, he got on a boat that was going as far away from Nineveh as possible. And then a great storm was sent by the Lord. And Jonah just knew it was God who sent the storm. Finally, after much debate, the seamen threw Jonah over and the storm stopped. And when Jonah entered into the sea, a big fish swallowed him up. And in the belly of that big fish, Jonah prayed and cried out to the Lord. This is a little bit of his prayer. I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. When he was spit on dry land by this big old fish, he decided to go on to Nineveh, as God had asked in the beginning. And he preached a message of repentance. We only get about 7 lines of it. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the beauty of this story is that the people heard the message and they repented. But Jonah wasn't very happy about that. In fact, he wanted to see them overthrown. The next day, Jonah goes out on the east side of the city and he sits under a plant and he just watches, waiting for the destruction. And the Lord sends a worm, and the worm eats the plant, and it withers. And all the shade that Jonah had enjoyed was gone. And so he was angry. And God tells him, in so many words, you're more concerned with your own comfort than the souls of the people. As he sat under the shade of that plant, and then the plant withered, God showed him that he had more compassion for the plant than he did for the 120,000 souls of the people in Nineveh. And it's a good corrective for us as well. Are we praying for the souls of the people around us that we know need Jesus? And are we open to the Lord telling us to go and to share with them in word and deed? Jonah chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. Then Jonah began to go through the city one day's walk, and he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation, and it said, "In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water, but both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. And let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish." when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Praise God that he hears prayers and he turns and relents from his anger. We see this most clearly in our Lord Jesus Christ, that because he gave himself, God relented in making us pay for the sins which we have committed. All right, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 21. We'll start in verse 33 and we'll go through verse 46. The title in my Bible says, Parable of the Landowner. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive his produce. The vine growers took his slaves and beat one, killed the other, and stoned a third. Again, he sent another group of slaves larger than the first, and they did the same thing to them. But afterward, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the vine growers saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." They took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine growers? They said to him, "He will bring those wretches to the wretched end and will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers who will pay him the proceeds at the proper seasons." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. And he who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces. But on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they understood that he was speaking about them. When they sought to seize him, they feared the people because they considered him to be a prophet. Before we move on, I just want to say, can't you tell what this story is really talking about? God sent the prophets. He sent all these prophets we've been hearing about, asking the people to repent. And then finally, he sends his son, Jesus. And what are they going to do to Jesus but kill him? And Jesus says to them, "Haven't you heard from the scriptures? Like the thing that was rejected in the building, that ends up being the like perfect piece to fit it all together, the cornerstone or the capstone." And then he says, "Therefore, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, from those who had the heritage of the faith waiting on the Messiah, and then it'll be given to a people who will produce the fruit of it." So other people who recognize Jesus as Lord will then produce fruit. You may remember in yesterday or the day before's reading, we talked about the barren fig tree. When Jesus saw it on the road and it had lots of green leaves, but no fruit. And what did he do? He condemned it and it withered. This is a picture of the chief priests and the Pharisees. They looked really good on the outside, but they weren't bearing the fruit of the kingdom. And this is a very important pointer for us, that we as followers of Christ are called to behold the Messiah, to behold the Son of God, and then to become like him in bearing the fruit of the kingdom, in being one who speaks as Christ speaks, who sees others with eyes of compassion, and walks according to the wisdom that we find in God's word. Speaking of wisdom, let's turn over to the book of Proverbs. Today we're reading Proverbs 12 and verse 3. A man will not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will not be moved. In other words, wickedness does not create a lasting foundation for you. Ultimately, wickedness is going to lead to downfall. There's no building established in wickedness. But those who are righteous will never be moved. You know, the metaphor of strong roots that keep you steady in the midst of life's storms. And so we ask, Lord, that you would help us to follow your wisdom, your truth, your integrity, that we might have a lasting righteousness that will not be moved. Will you pray with me? Lord, teach us to love what you command and desire what you promise. Give us a strong compassion for those who do not know you and are walking far from you in these days. Help us to be more concerned about the souls of people than we are our own comfort. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we would bear the fruit of the kingdom, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. And we ask, Lord, that your wisdom and your word would stay in our hearts today as we seek to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.